and I want to be naughty with you lips. I'm sat staring at the skateboard scene, ska punk loving guy from Riley's. And as the rain came down on that Sunday night, he went in for the kill with a glint in his eye. It's a beautiful thing when boy meets boy. That was his opening line. It's really corny and it makes me laugh sometimes. It's a beautiful thing when boy meets boy. That was the first thing he said. I just cringed and shook my head. I went with Marcus back to his apartment, hidden just behind the station. Of idols and rock stars who had died too young. I sat wondering what the hell I'm doing with a skateboard punk from Riley's. And just as I decide I should be making a move, he is standing in the doorway in his birthday suit. It's a beautiful thing when boy meets boy. What a ridiculous line. It's kind of tragic that it makes me bedside table. I paid tribute with a little wink to River Phoenix hanging on the wall. As I'm walking in the rain with my head held high, my phone starts ringing. I saw him again another 7 times, and I still hold on to that opening line.
This is J.D. Doyle for Out Radio, and I'm delighted to share with you an interview with Matt Fischel, who lives in London. I've started calling his music political power pop, and I just love it. In recent years, he's put out several wonderful songs and videos, and it's music that never even thought about being in the closet. He's just released his debut CD called Not Thinking Straight, which I've been anxiously awaiting for years. So let's get to the interview. I started the show with the first song I heard by you, and it immediately made me a huge fan. I included it on my Best of 2008 show. Could you tell me about the song When Boy Meets Boy?
Sure. Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's one of my earlier songs, as you said. For me, When Boy Meets Boy is just a really fun, quirky, in kind of up-tempo celebratory song about meeting another guy and having a fun relationship. The guy in this song in particular, he's this super hot skater guy, and he's into like punk rock and stuff. And basically the song closes the album. For me, this song it's positive and jubilant, and it's just putting it out there and saying, you know, it's great when two guys fall in love, and it's wonderful and it's exciting and we should celebrate.
What drives you to make music?
Wow. I've always been driven to make music. It's what I wanted to do. Ever since I was a kid, I've always been kind of recording ideas or singing. What really drives me to make music is having something to say, whether it's I want to make a comment on the world around me and how I see it, or just whether I'm excited or I'm in love or I want to sing about something. Basically, it's about having something to say. I don't usually write if I kind of don't have any inspiration. I'm not someone that just sits down and says, I think I should write a song. I'm very passionate about a lot of things. And so when I feel I have something to say, that's when I write a song.
And do the words come first? Do the music come first?
I'm always writing music. So most of the time, the melodies come first. And so I have this huge bank of like recordings and ideas and melodic ideas. And a lot of the time they'll sit there for several months or weeks. And then as soon as I feel really impassioned about a subject, I then pick up one of these songs and I will start to write the lyrics. Lyrics usually come second, and then eventually a song forms, and it usually happens very quickly. I usually kind of get it all out, and I usually have way too many lyrics, and then I have to cut back and make them fit.
Where did you grow up, and at what age did you come out?
I grew up in Nottingham, in the East Midlands, in the UK. And to be honest, I think I just always knew I was gay, probably from about the age of 12, when I started to have feelings towards other guys. And I realized after a while that this wasn't necessarily what a lot of the other guys I was friends with were also feeling. They were all talking about girls. I came out to myself very young, probably about 13. And when I was about 14, I had one very close friend, and I confided in her, and I essentially came out then. And then I think I came out officially to my friends and my family. I think I was probably 17.
How autobiographical are your songs?
Very, I would say. My songs are all about real experiences that I'm having or that I've had. My songs, I think, are quite narrative. So I like to tell stories, and the stories are always based on real experiences that I've had, whether it's with boyfriends or with people, or with the music industry. But they're all very definitely autobiographical.
In your videos, you look kind of hot. Are you single?
There is someone special at the moment.
And have you written a song about him?
Not on this album. No, there is nothing that you can hear right now about this particular guy.
Radio-friendly pop song is the opening track on the CD. Did you write that in response to any treatment you received in the music industry?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's based on mine and other people's experiences that I've spoken to and friends of mine that I have. But specifically to me, I've been told several times by executives in major labels who will remain nameless. You know, they say things like, oh, your songs are great, we love the vibe, we think they're really cool. You know, you just need to get rid of all references to other men, get rid of all the gay references, and we're good to go. And I've personally never been prepared to do that. And whenever I hear that, I just go, argh, and it kind of spurs me on to kind of, you know, to keep being true to myself and to say, you know what, screw you. So with this song, I just wanted to write a fun tongue-in-cheek response to that, where I basically said, you don't want me to talk about this, but hey, I'm gay, I like guys, I'm out, and I'm not ashamed about it.
It's a pleasure to meet you, my friend, come take a seat at my desk. I gotta tell you, kid, the whole team is more than impressed. Your melody soar, and all of your choruses shine. The lyrics are sound, and your voice is fundamentally fine. But face it, if you wanna make it onto radio, kid, you gotta do as I say. Change all the hymns into hers, and just don't tell the world that you're happy to help. Take my card, please think about what I've said. But this is an industry where people make money, so your art has to sell. And you should never seek to challenge an audience, they buy what they're told, and we never get it wrong. Go write us a non-offensive, tasteful, conventional song like this one. Girls like boys, and boys like girls, and
got and everything that you need to go far. You're a talented guy, you can shake Hollywood to the ground. And with us on your side, plus your looks, you're gonna conquer this town. But face it, if you wanna break into this business, kid, you gotta play the part. And you'll never play a leading man if you let onto your back the truth about who you are. Just remember that girls like boys and boys like girls, and that's the way it has been forever. Yeah. Girls like boys and boys like girls, and that's the way it will be forever. The radio gonna get it, the kids already know. Some girls like girls, some boys got a boyfriend. I like guys and they like me. We hold hands, make out, and do all the things that lovers do. Some girls like girls, some boys got a boyfriend. I like guys and they like me. We hold hands, make out, and do all the things that lovers do.
I get the impression you were trying to write songs you wish you could have heard when you were figuring out that you were gay.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was always looking for songs when I was that age, a song from a gay perspective, and there were very few and far between. I grew up listening to, I was really influenced by a lot of kind of like punk and hardcore and rock bands. And I loved those bands and I loved going to see them play and stuff, but I was very aware that there were very few songs sung from a gay perspective. And I always thought, you know, I want to write these songs. I want to be able to sit there and be candid and open and honest and write songs from a gay man's perspective in the genre of music that I love.
Were there gay artists that inspired you?
Like I said, there are few and far between, but there absolutely were. I discovered Pansy Division when I was probably about 16 or 17. A friend had a CD and he was like, oh my God, you've got to check this out. I put them on, I was like, my mouth dropped. I was like, oh my God, because, you know, as you know, Pansy Division they're quite explicit. Their songs are quite fun. And it was amazing hearing, you know, a gay punk band from California singing about gay sex. And I thought that was awesome. I love bands like, I don't know if you know Skunk Anansie.
No.
They're fronted by a female singer called Skin, who's got the most incredible, beautiful, soulful voice. And they're a heavy rock band. From the UK, and they were really inspirational to me. And George Michael was a big inspiration as well. I was really young when he was, I say, came out, or when he was outed, or, you know, when the incident happened. And then he put out Outside. And I just thought the single and the video were brilliant. It was two fingers up to the press. And, you know, he was saying, yes, I'm gay, deal with it. And that was very inspirational for me. I was like, go, George.
How do you describe your music?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I would describe it as fun, anthemic pop rock. You know, lots of big guitars, big choruses, lots of backing vocals, and yeah.
I played one of your songs on the radio last week, and when I was introducing it, I called your music political power pop.
Oh, brilliant. I love that. That's great.
Your songs, really, they are political.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, I was very influenced by a lot of punk bands, and so I've always loved artists who have something to say and who are political. I think being a gay artist, it's quite a fine line, because, you know, on the one hand, I'd say I never strategically set out to write gay songs. I just happen to be gay and proud, and I sing about the experiences and the relationships that are true to me. But at the same time, I appreciate that, you know, some of the stuff I have to say is quite political, in that I'm making a statement about certain areas of society. So I feel it is important to talk about these things and for gay men and women to have a voice and to put themselves out there.
Yeah, I have a mixed emotion about a part of this subject where it really shouldn't be political for a man to sing about his love for another man, but because of society, it turns into being political.
Right, absolutely, yeah, and I completely agree. I mean, that's the difficulty. So I suppose where I come from is I try not to overthink it. I just think, you know, what do I want to write about today? So some days it will be, you know, I'm angry at the way that certain people have been treated in society because they're gay, and I want to sing about it. You know, other times I'll just want to sing about a love song, and I don't see that as political at all. I just write about it, and I sing about my feelings, and then if somebody interprets that as a political stand, then, you know, that's fine by me.
I want to go back to your first video. There's a lot of teenage angst going on in Football Song. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, Football Song is about, well, it's about when I was younger and kind of fantasizing about having a relationship with the captain of our football team. I was never into sport. Like, I've never been good at sport. I've never been interested in sport. And, you know, I went to a kind of school where it was a boys' school, and sport was the thing. You were either in the sports team or you were kind of a nobody. So I was never really into it, but, you know, there were a lot of hot guys in the football team. And this particular song is about kind of fantasizing about the captain of the football team and, you know, could we ever have a relationship, and conceding that essentially I'm never going to be that guy. I'm never going to be the guy that's kind of applauded for being the sportsman, but, you know, there must be something else out there for me, and I'm going to find my own path.
I'm sitting on the back of the football bus. All the lads are wearing shorts and shimmy pants, talking about the game they're gonna win this afternoon. And all this display of masculinity, well, it's making me feel a bit nauseous. So I close my eyes and I pray it'll be over soon. Now I have never functioned well at a competitive sport. I just can't find the fun. And besides, I'm far too paranoid about the way I look when I run. So I simply comb in my hair, trying my hardest not to stare. But it's getting cold out and the whistle blows. Keep the most wonderful.
Regarding the video for this song, The First Time, Out Magazine said it was a music video that will make you want to be a teenager all over again.
The First Time is very close to my heart. It's about all those feelings of warmth and nostalgia that come from that first special moment you share with another person. For me, it was the first time I kissed another boy, and it was an amazing experience. It was a profound moment. It was very beautiful, and it was in that moment I was like, this is who I am. I'm happy. This is my life, and I love it. And I wanted to write a song about that, about all those kind of feelings of excitement that you get when you kind of think about the first time you found yourself and fell in love.
You're my best memory, baby, you're the world to me. Drew in a breath that morning on the day you changed my life forever. Fearful of you, I was scared. Stood under bridges, baby, singing songs in two-part harmony. The rain was pouring slowly. You reached out, holding on to my hand. If ever you should stumble, I will be your ground. I'm your man.
According to the CD liner notes, you do all the vocals, play all the instruments, produce, etc., etc. How do you manage it all?
by working 24/7. It's been a big project. I basically run my own record label because I wanted that creative control. You know, it all came from these meetings with record labels where they said to me, you know, you have to crush the gay content and all of that. So I thought, I'm going to do this myself. I want complete creative control, and I want to be able to tell my story in my own way. So I basically spend a lot of time in my studio recording, doing it all myself. But with this album, I played all the instruments, I recorded all the vocals, and I would finish all the songs, but then I would take them into the studio where I work with my producer, Mark Crew, and then we would strip back a lot of the stuff I'd done, and we would collaborate and re-record a lot of parts. Mark also plays keyboards and drums on the album. And there was one other guy called Jonas who came in to play extra guitars as well.
The song Behind Closed Doors seems to be about hypocrisy, right?
Right. Yeah. It's about that horrible hypocrisy that you often hear from certain people. You know, when people are like, oh, I'm cool that you're gay. I just don't want to see it. And that drives me mad. I'm sure it drives you mad too. It's that classic one, you know, I don't care what you do in the privacy of your home, as long as it's not in front of me. And you hear that all the time. And I just think, really, really, we're still in that place. So the reason I wrote this song was because it was one specific incident where it just drove me mad. I was at a party. There was this guy, he was really drunk, and he was trying to have this, like, this discussion in the corner. And he was all like, oh, you know, I don't mind gay people. Gay people are fine, but I don't understand why they always have to shove it in our faces. You know, I'd heard that before, but the fact that he was sat there with his very drunk girlfriend, and he had his hand down at top, and he was being really quite lecherous and disgusting. And I just thought, wow, you really have no idea how hypocritical you're being.
Tired of stupid people trying to get one over on me. I have heard it all before. Times we say they are a change and everybody's getting better. So what's this guy cringing for? He says what you do behind closed doors. You're happy, you don't have to prove it to me. And then he turns and kisses the girl on his arm.
Quite pleased that I was the one who told you about the Write Out TV Awards, and you entered and won two of them.
Yeah, thank you for that, man. I mean, I was so thrilled and honored when I got them. It was brilliant. It was a great feeling. It was so good that something like that exists, you know, that recognizes LGBT artists and supports them And yeah, it was a huge honor to get those.
And the two awards you won, they were some pretty big awards. Behind Closed Doors won Song of the Year, and Football Song. They set up a category, because the awards are still kind of new, they set up a category for videos, not necessarily of the current year, but sometime in the past. And so best video so far was Football Song, which is amazing.
That was just awesome. I was so thrilled.
Tell me about your rock opera from 2003, Superficial Experience.
I just decided I wanted to record a rock opera with ridiculous 13-minute songs and big wailing divas and lots of big guitar solos. And so, yeah, I set about doing it. I was at university at the time. I was at music college, and I had a whole bunch of talented friends around me and studios at our disposal. So I spent a year writing it, and then I pulled everyone together, and everyone jumped on board, and we went into the studio for a few weeks and just recorded these big, huge, ridiculously over-the-top songs about different people and their journeys through life, and it was great fun.
For people just listening, the opera was called Superficial Experience, and Superficial, as in Matt's last name, Fischel. I think the rock opera ended with the song Armitage Shanks, Jamie, which you've included on the new CD. First, for those not in the UK, tell us what Armitage Shanks is.
Armitage Shanks is a, how would you say, it's a brand of urinal, for want of a better word. It's the signature that's inscribed into a lot of toilet seats and urinals.
Now tell me about the song.
This song is about a guy who I spent, shall we say, a lot of extracurricular time with during my school years. And it's kind of a cheeky little wink to him, really. We were never really friends. We didn't speak to each other that much, but we spent a lot of time together. So I just wanted to write a kind of fun song in tribute to him as a kind of thank you for letting me share that time.
What's that noise we hear just before the song starts?
Those are belt buckles and zippers.
Jamie, you're breaking my heart, and I want to thank you for your time. And Jamie, you've been making me hard with our little secret from behind the bike shed. You like the tables and I like all the magazines. But at the end of the day, it wasn't in your eyes I found love for the first time, cause you were never that good anyway. From the start, and I'm sick of waiting for you to come by. Jamie, you were never that hard as I flush the teardrops from out of my eyes. You wrote the papers and I stole all the Vaseline, but at the end of the day, it wasn't in your eyes I fell up for the first time, cause you were never that good anyway. Maybe someday we can be friends. I can't deny it, you were always the means to an end. Oh, Jamie, Jamie, what have we done? Oh, Jamie, we had so much fun. But Jamie, now I wanna be free, free from the clutches held on me. And Jamie, I'm unlocking the doors, I pull the chain down on what's gone before us. I'm sick of kneeling out.
yours, and in your eyes I found love for the first time. 'Cause you were never that good anyway. But nevertheless, I want I could do best. And now I wanna get out. Oh, I wanna get out. I know this, just go back inside and play.
Again, that song was called Armitage Shanks Jamie. Matt, your boyfriend in the song Maybe just could not commit, could he?
No, he couldn't. It would drive me mad. Yeah, this is one of the more playful, fun songs on the album. It's about, you know, that situation when you're like really into somebody and they're super hot. And they know it, and they know that you're trying to get with them, and they keep leading you on, and then you're about to kiss, and they're like, and it just kind of drives you mad, and you're like, come on. Yeah, so let's get it on already. It's that kind of a vibe.
You're the most complicated boy that I ever met, yet there's absolutely nothing going on in your head. How's that for a contradiction? Sometimes I think you are a devil and you're up to no good. Sometimes I think you're just an angel and you're misunderstood. Either way, you have become my obsession. One minute you're saying yes and the next is a no. It's like I'm banging my head on a wall and I can't let it go. Drinking wine and smoking all my cigarettes. Well, that'd be fine, but then you laugh and joke like you're unimpressed. You got me wrapped around a string upon your finger. First you reel me in and spit me out, and I don't know where to stand. Well, I should come to my senses, yet that's easy to say. But I've never felt about anybody this way.
I take it Nottingham is about the city in central England and its prisoners.
That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, absolutely. It's about feeling trapped in a small city and, you know, dreaming about getting out. But I wanted to tell the song through a relationship I had with a guy when I lived there as a teenager. And we were always, you know, dreaming about being somewhere else or about being on a road trip. It was kind of like Thelma and Louise, you know, we wanted to be in America, driving like down the big highways and kind of escaping. But, you know, ultimately we felt trapped by our environment and about not having like-minded people around us. But also it's a song about that specific relationship and about how I found, you know, being gay. When I was younger, it was very difficult to find other gay people to, you know, have friendships with or to experiment with. And I realized when I was in this relationship that we were from completely different worlds and we probably wouldn't be together if we weren't, you know, in this situation. But as it was, we both found trapped and we found each other. And that's where this song takes place.
One day I'm gonna be a freeway truck driver picking up guys along the way, you said. Well, I think all these thoughts of American movies have gone right to our heads. And all this talk about our glamorous dreams seems so funny as our bus turns a corner onto the estate. All the houses here are lonely, yet all the Christmas decorations are the same. Oh, would I be sitting here with you if there was something else to do in
is this ever going anywhere? I don't think so, I don't think so.
So we pretend this town's the coolest place we've ever been, yet I feel I can hardly breathe here. All the walls are closing in, brief encounters can't buy you love and so on. 30 minutes till someone comes home, you send, as you lay me down on your cousin's bed. And I close my eyes as I try to forget about the pain that we're both going through. Are we ever gonna get somewhere if all we do is Nottingham? For Christ's sake, I don't think so, I don't think so.
Talk about the song 17 Again.
17 Again is quite a personal song to me. It's about two things, really. It's a friendship I had when I was, I think, 20 with a 17-year-old boy. And I could see he was going through a really tough time with family and with his social life. And there were a lot of things going on in his world that were very similar to what was happening for me when I was that age, you know. And he was coming to terms with his sexuality as well, and he thought he might be gay. And I wanted to reach out to him, and I really wanted to be a friend to him and to give him good advice. But at the same time, I didn't want to be irresponsible. And so I had, you know, I had to say, I'm very happy to be a friend to you, but I can't be that person with whom you know, find yourself, because I just didn't feel it was a responsible place. But at the same time, I wanted to write the song, you know, in a way that I was giving advice to myself, looking back and what I would have said to myself, and, you know, to say it does get better and to just stick in there. And that's what this song is about.
Well, I can see the telltale signs, there's something else on your mind. See, I know that expression, a stirring feeling deep inside. Your friends ain't get it and your family will find.
Hi, this is Matt Fischel, and you are listening to Out Radio.
I love the way that you use male names in your songs. And another example is Alistair. It's so refreshing to hear a male-to-male Don't Leave Me song.
Thanks, yeah. I just never wanted to shy away from being honest and truthful. I mean, I will say, everything in this song is true. It's a Don't Leave Me song to another guy. It's about the start of a relationship. It's great, and then it falls apart. The only thing I have changed is the specific name, because I didn't want to use this guy's real name. but the story there is true. And it's one of a batch of songs on the album. I put it together with like The First Time and 17 Again as kind of these quite reflective, nostalgic rock songs about relationships. And he was a big part of my life.
So what's his real name?
I think I give you his real name.
I showed the CD to some folks at the radio station, and they said, "Who names their kid Alistair?" And I said, "People in England."
Yeah, it's not a very American name, is it?
Ali, I don't know where to begin. I thought this was what you wanted. Alistair, why can't we still be friends? After all, that was how this started. You were naive, and I never understood. I guess I've screwed things up for good. But Alistair, I don't think I can go on. Looking back, I guess I should have known.
Boxer Shorts and Razor Blades is a painful breakup song, right?
Right, yeah. This is one of the few, I guess, love songs on the album, and it's about the painful breakup of a relationship. It's about how, you know, when you get to that awful phase where you know it's over, and then you start squabbling over little things like, you know, whose boxer shorts are whose, and this razor blade is mine, but really you're just masking the fact that you're not really talking about the bigger stuff and why the relationship has fallen apart. And it's sad, you know, when you know somebody for such a long time and you're so close, and then you break up, and then you bump into each other a few weeks later, that horrible, awkward moment is like, you know everything about me, you know my life story, but here we are being like, "How are you?" "Yeah, fine. How are you?" And yeah, that's what this song is about. It's a sad song.
Picking through the remnants of our life, sitting squabbling over what belongs to you. Which stuff's mine? Well, it's all boxer shorts and razor blades tonight. But in the morning when we wake up, there'll be something else to fight about. I'd try to talk things over, you'd retaliate with spite. And cliches like everything's gonna be I love, or find more flaws to address if you would swear to open up and talk once in a while. You cannot keep it all inside for weeks, then snap at me like an angry child. I thought that we could save it when I thought it was worth the fight. Yeah, I thought that we could make it.
Do you see yourself writing any slow ballads?
Yes, maybe. I mean, I do love listening to a lot of slow ballads. I love me some divas, but I always start writing a slow ballad like Boxer Shorts and Razor Blades, but I just can never resist kind of putting a bit of a kick in or a guitar solo or doubling the tempo. So maybe, maybe one day.
How did you get Joe Phillips to do the drawings for your CD?
Joe Phillips, I love his work. I've loved his work for so long, and I really wanted to work with him. So I waited till I was in a place where I could approach him. And actually, the artwork came second. I approached Joe originally last summer because I really wanted to work with him on an animation video, which I have done. It's for When Boy Meets Boy. It's wonderful, and I'm going to be putting it out in a couple of months as an official single. Very excited about it. While it was going, Joe and I became really good friends, and we had such a laugh, and we were talking all the time for hours every day, and we got on really well. And I said to him, you know, I love your art so much. I would be really honored if you could work on the artwork for my album. And he was really up for it. And we went back and forth. I gave him all my ideas, and he really loved my vibe. I loved his vibe, and it was a great collaboration.
Could you tell me about the song Hyper Ballad?
Hyper Ballad? Yeah. It's a Björk song. It's a beautiful, wonderful Björk song from 1995, I think, from her second album. I love the song. I love the lyric. It's such an unconventional love song. It's essentially a love song, but it's a love song like none that I've ever heard. And I wanted to record my own version. So a few years ago, I did an a cappella version where I did all the vocals and I layered everything and I rearranged it for vocal. And yeah, I recorded that. And it's actually going to be available on a cover EP that I'm making just straight after the album that I'm going to put out in a few months' time to follow up with the album, and I will be including it on that.
We live on a mountain right at the top. This beautiful view from the top of the mountain. Every morning I walk towards the end and throw little things off, like car parts, bottles, cutlery, or whatever I find lying around. It's become a habit, a way to start the day. I go through all this before you wake up, so I can feel happier to be safe up here. It's early morning, no one is awake. I'm back at my crib, still throwing things off. I listen to sounds they make on their way down. I follow with my eyes till they crash.
Crash, 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 crash.
Imagine what my body would sound like slamming against those rocks. When it lands, will my eyes be closed or open? I go through all this before
2009, you did another demo. It was called How Do You Get With the Guy? Could you talk about it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you remember that. How Do You Get With the Guy? It was kind of just a silly song about, it was about straight guys. This idea of totally having a crush on a straight guy, you know it's never going to happen. You know you're never going to get together, but still there's this idea of like, oh, but what if, and you know.
Well, remember, I badgered you years ago to send me some of your more of your work, and you did, so now I'm asking questions about it.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm in love with this guy, but I don't think he feels the same. He's got a girl of his own, and she's practically married to him. And even when he's alone, a night catches his eye, he refuses to notice me. Well, old man, the bastard's girl say you'd be better off keeping clear. Yet that's not such a feasible option, being male and being queer. I don't know what to do. It's just lust with this guy, but that don't mean it changes things. All I ask is one night to show him what danger means. And there'd be no turning back, he'd fall into bed with me, begging for me to stay. Okay, so I'm dreaming that's not gonna happen, this isn't fair. I guess I could go camp, but I'm still dressing drag and he still wouldn't care. I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do.
How do you get with the guy when the guy's got a girlfriend? How do you prove that he's better with you than with her? How do you conquer the stereotype? Let's get what we want and we do what we like when the one thing I want. Forget about this guy. Answers on a postcard, please, 'cause I am lost for a plan. As he goes on rejecting me, I need some damn self-esteem. I hate being needy, I hate feeling out of control. How do you get with the guy when the guy's got a girlfriend?
You won't find those last two songs on Matt's new album, so I'm glad to share a little of his music history with you. Please visit his website at www.mattfishel.com. And I have one more song to share, the closing one, which you'll hear Matt say is the angriest song on his album. I thank Matt for the terrific interview and you for listening to Out Radio. And you'll find more new music by LGBT artists in additional segments of this show.
Testament is the song on the album with about the hardest edge musically.
I suppose, in a way, it's probably my angriest song on the album. I really wanted to write this song because it's about Testament is about all the influences that can shape who you are as a person and make you confused or question your place in the world. It's about authority and tradition and repression, religion and education, and, you know, all these voices that are constantly coming at you from everywhere as you're growing up, whether it's your parents or your school or, you know, religious teachers telling you who you can be, who you should be, what you have to do with your life. And for me, I wanted to write a song that's about finding your place and how you fit into the world and how those things, whether or not they're relevant to you. And ultimately, for me, Testament is a celebration of liberation and personal and sexual freedom and saying, you know, I'm not necessarily that person. I'm this person, and I'm going to find my own path, and I'm going to celebrate that.
Learn these words verbatim one by one. These are the truths you'll need. Raise your flags for freedom, march for your country, keep your lips sealed. And if you don't self-guard, then you will find yourself in trouble.
Button in their shirts. If it's wrong, then shoot me down with your-